Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you'll find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co and follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end when we're going to share an exciting opportunity, and feel free to share this with others. Today is a milestone in the history of Inspiration from Zion. Today we are celebrating our 200th episode, and I put out to our listeners and donors to the Genesis 123 Foundation, what do you want to hear? What should we talk about for this occasion? We're now well into 4 years into the podcast and 5 years since this was launched as a webinar series during COVID when we couldn't all be in touch or many people come here to Israel. And I'm so excited to have this milestone and so grateful for everyone who's participated and listened and shared. And of course, our sponsors and all of the people who have joined, dozens, if not more. As we started the Genesis 123 Foundation in 2017, if you don't know the story, we took the name from Genesis 12:3, the verse, which is very simple. Using a basic English translation, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and the families of the earth will be blessed through you. I was concerned in using the name that we would be partly among the guilty people who overuse the scripture, who overuse it to try to manipulate people transactionally, to be involved with Israel organizations, to donate rather than relationally, which is my passion, how I exist. And when we started Genesis 1:2-3, it was embracing the whole verse. And that, for I look at it from a set of bookends. I will bless those who bless you, which my father was a chemist, and I always think of things in his memory as a formula. That in of itself is a verse, a section of the verse to unpack. And the conclusion, the families of the world will be blessed through you. Bookends surrounded by a book in the middle that talks about cursing those who curse Israel. Today, I'm very excited to have 4 guests to help us unpack one verse and discuss what it means to us as Jews and Christians and people who work in this space. So let me introduce them, especially thank them for all being here today and being part, not just of Inspiration from Zion in general, but this specific milestone. Rabbi Adam Eliyahu Berkowitz is the senior reporter for Israel 365 News. He made Aliyah in 1991 and served as a combat medic in the IDF. He has an eclectic career in studying Jewish law, publishing 4 books, if I'm not mistaken, and as a chef, as well as many other things. We could go on for an hour talking about him and his career. He lives in the Golan Heights with his wife and their 4 children. Reverend Trey Graham is a West Point graduate and a senior pastor of First Melissa Church in Texas. He's a radio host, a columnist for various publications, and the Christian correspondent for ILTV News in Israel. He also, full disclosure, is a member of the advisory board of the Genesis 123 Foundation. Reverend Dr. Tricia Miller is the director of partnership at the Partnership of Christians and Jews for CAMRA, which is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis, which provides a powerful response to anti-Christian and anti-Jewish voices in the global media, combating anti-Semitism in the church, and telling the truth about Israel, as well as opposing all forms of anti-Semitism. Tricia is president of Christians and Jews United for Israel to support Israel's right to exist as a sovereign Jewish state, and its right to a unified Jerusalem as its eternal capital, and for Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, the biblical heartland of Israel. She's published, if I'm not mistaken, two books, or at least two books. Avi Zimmerman is the founder and CEO of Sector 4 Strategy, an Israel-based consultancy dedicated to values-driven impact across philanthropy, business, and public advocacy. He's the creator of Kosher Giving, a best-selling book and digital platform that helps individuals and institutions give more meaningfully, mindfully, and measurably. His newest initiative, the upcoming podcast, You Are What You Give, explores how generosity shapes identity, legacy, and leadership across faiths and sectors. Avi has extensive experience establishing creative partnerships between Christians and Israelis. He's helped launch the Ariel National Leadership Center in cooperation with U.S. Christian leaders, worked with U.S. Israel Education Association to bring congressional delegations to Judea and Samaria, one very recent high-profile one, and has co-founded the Integrated Business Roundtable, a platform for Christians to invest in Israeli startups. Wow, everybody. And by the way, today we're among friends. We disperse titles, but with no disrespect. Trey, Adam, Trisha, and Avi, welcome to Inspiration from Zion.
Wonderful to be here.
We're recording on a Friday afternoon here in Israel, so some of us have to get ready for Shabbat. And Avi, we know, has a unique time. Demand on his schedule today. So Avi, I want to start with you, if you don't mind. We're going to have a conversation for about an hour, unpacking those three sections of Genesis 12:3. And what I'm curious is, when God said, from your perspective, and we'll do this as a round table, and I invite you all to interject and comment or compliment or even contradict one another. When God speaks about blessing those who bless Israel, what does it look like to you?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jonathan. This is such an honor to be here at episode 200. Amazing what you've done until now. I can only imagine all the work, blood, sweat, and effort that's gone into it. So keep up the good work. I'll toggle back quick. You hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I'll toggle back quickly to the congressional delegate, which we had this week, and try to define what the word blessing meant in that verse and in others. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word for blessing is the same word as something within the agricultural press of making abundant. What that means is, if you have a vine, which are vines are very significant for the agriculture of Israel, and for winemaking, et cetera, you have a vine, and that vine is bringing forth fruit. And of course, all the vine over the course of each lifetime, and you want it to be stronger. You don't just wish upon it to be stronger.
Oh, dear.
Oops.
Avi also is having reception issues because he's in some isolated part of Israel at the moment, but we're going to come back to him. Trisha, he's coming back in. We're going to let him pick up the vine conversation, but Shusha, oh, here we go. Go ahead.
My apologies. I'm going to turn off my video for a moment. Right. So it turns out that if you take that vine and you plant it back into the ground, some extension of the vine, then from the point where you've planted it back in the ground, grows forth another entire vine. And what's happening is blessing, the word lahavrich in Hebrew, or bracha, blessing, is to make what you already have right now into something that's more abundant. And we took that verse, we explained that a little bit to Congress and in the context of their delegation.
Oops.
Yeah, we may have that problem. But I like that. I like what he just said. Trisha, what does it mean to you? What do you want to add anything in addition, or pick up on what Avi's saying until he comes back? And you got to unmute. I'm sorry, I just muted you by accident.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonathan, for having us. It is an honor to be here for your 200th episode. Congratulations. So
thank you.
I really like what Avi was saying about that it's going to increase what you already have. That's mind-boggling there. I need time to process that even, because I was thinking originally, I was in agreement with you with what you said in your introduction about the concern about it sounding transactional. And I have been concerned working in the Christian world that it's this verse is quoted so much. It's almost overdone. And I think that people take it too lightly. Oh, well, you know, we'll just bless Israel. And they don't even know what that means. So because we just want to be blessed. And that's been my concern in the Christian world, that it's transactional. And I think that what my focus in all of my work has been to teach Christians about our roots, about the Jewish roots of Christianity, and how we've been blessed and how we're indebted to the Jewish people, and that we need to focus on that, and that we need to bless the Jewish people in response to what we have already received. So then that sort of picks up on what Avi was saying, because we've already received this, and then our blessing is going to increase as we bless the Jewish people. So that
just picks up on what Avi's saying. And I love the metaphor of the vine sprouting a whole new vine. Adam, I want to come to you. You and I often have a lot of offline conversations, and we're going in some of that territory. For me, and still just sticking with this little bitty formula, I will bless those who bless you. How many words is that? 5 words? Something like that in English. To me, there are an abundant number of ways, an infinite number of ways, surely, that God can bless us. Avi, everyone's going to keep coming back to your metaphor, and we're going to bring you back in a second at the beginning. That was great. But there are an equal number of ways that someone can bless Israel. And I always have had an issue with Jewish Israelis, but it's not only. There are Christian ministries that do this as well, saying, if you do so-and-so, which usually means a monetary donation to bless Israel, then you will be blessed. And therefore, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, so give me money so you can bless Israel. What do you think about this? Where's God's blessing falling in?
Jonathan, was that for me or for Adam?
I wasn't for Adam. But I'll let you respond.
Oh, gosh.
Adam and I are in the same neighborhood right now. I'm in the Golan, and I'm just down the street somewhere, I guess, from Adam. But
go ahead. Yeah, that transactional thing, I really don't have a problem with it, because that's what Jacob said before he left Israel. He said, if you do this for me, God, if you clothe me and take care of me and bring me back, then you'll be my God. And I always was kind of jaded by that and said, no, that's not the way it should be. Sorry, I'm 63 years old. I've got 4 kids. I am totally into that. It's not, I'm a strong guy, but I look at, you know, the four people running around in my house, that they weren't that big when they came into the world. And that's not me. So transactional is good. And I learned something very interesting, because that phrase, Jews don't talk about it as much as Christians. Jews have a particular approach to Torah commandments, is we do it because we're supposed to. And like, you don't ask questions. It's the first of, you know, the first of Tishrei, you blow the shofar. You know, you don't have a choice. The time came, so you do it. And I realized that the same thing is true with blessings from the nations. When they come to me, I have a mitzvah. I have a commandment. It's not a choice. It's not from me. God told me that if I'm faced with the situation where someone from the nations blesses me, I've got to bless him.
You personally. So that's
personally.
You're making it very personal, not just relying on some God sprinkling down some fairy dust.
Absolutely.
And they're going.
I used to, you know, I had a lot of friends who were Hasidim of Reb Shlomo Carlebach, and they were the hippies. And I was a hippie, but I was kind of like a different kind of hippie, because in my spare time I rode motorcycles. But, you know, they had this habit of like, oh, bless your holy brother, bless your holy brother. And it always struck me as fake, and I didn't like it. But now I realize it's a real schut. It's such a merit to bless people.
Nice.
It really is. And if I can add one thing at the risk of getting political a little bit too early, when I saw the interview between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz, and you have to understand, it's not Israel That's where Ted Cruz quoted it wrong, and Tucker also misunderstood it. It's not Israel. It's the offspring of Abraham. Because we are the children of Abraham, that's why we bless people who bless us. And when Tucker Carlson was like, well, they're not, he was almost, he came right to the door, the threshold of saying, oh, the Jews are not descended from Abraham. And he came really close to that, which is like really a horrible form of replacement theology. And when he said that, I was thinking to myself, wow, what a miserable person. Where's he going to get his blessing from? If he can't look for a Jew and say, I'm looking for the offspring of Abraham to bless me, if he can't do that, he's not going to have any source of blessings.
I want to have the presence of mind to come back to that when we get to the middle part of the bookend in terms of the cursing. But I want to, especially since you just mentioned Texas with Ted Cruz, and we've got Trey Graham in Texas. Trey, I want to, for those who don't know you, yours is not the biggest church. It's not the most famous, but I'm hard pressed to think of many churches that do more vis-a-vis blessing Israel than what you do. And that's to your credit intellectually, from your heart, your faith, and all of that. You've heard some really great comments, and I'll hear what's your sense of when you're, I know you're not, you don't have a checklist to say, okay, what are we going to do this week to bless Israel? It's just in your nature. But what does that all mean to you as senior pastor of a real significant church?
This year, you can join Christian leaders from around the world who are lining up to participate in Root and Branch, the newest hands-on, meaningful, and incredibly tangible way for Christians to make a personal connection to Israel, the Israeli people, and to be a blessing to the people and nation which is still suffering from the trauma of a horrific terrorist attack and war. Root and Branch offers unique comfort and a vision of peace with tangible material benefits to Israelis who have suffered the trauma of war, specifically in and around the Gaza border area. Root and Branch is a unique agricultural pilgrimage. You will harvest wild olive trees in communities along the Gaza border that were devastated by the October 7, 2023 terrorist attack and massacre. In these communities and elsewhere, we will plant deep and lasting roots among Israelis of all backgrounds, making Root and Branch all the more innovative. Since the war began, more than $50 million in crops have been saved by volunteers. Root and Branch is the first such initiative to harvest olives. Proceeds from the olive oil that's being made will directly benefit these devastated communities, making Root and Branch a critical and significant project to bless Israel economically and spiritually in multiple ways. Root and Branch is a partnership between the Genesis 123 Foundation and NewPersia.org. For information, videos, and media about the experience, dates, pricing, and how you can register, please visit rootandbranchisrael.com.
Well, the commandment is to be a blessing. It was an imperative that the Lord gave. And I think we have to do a little bit of background for a moment. This verse is given to Abram, not to Abraham. His name hasn't been changed yet. His identity, and you scholars know better than I, the letter hey for grace was added to his name, but that's later. So this is the beginning of his spiritual journey. And we talk about all of this as if this is something that very mature believers do, that you do it when you've been on this path for a long time. This is the beginning of this path for Abram. And I think it's quite interesting, Jonathan, you're having this discussion in the week we have the portion that includes the Shema, because what this is a Shema story. Hear and obey. So the Lord speaks to 75-year-old Abram, who's living a comfortable life. He's got a 65-year-old wife. And the Lord says, I want you to leave all of that. I want you to go about 400 miles from Haran to Canaan, which would have taken them weeks to travel. He's got to believe that the word he heard from the Lord was really true. He's got to convince his wife and his nephew to join him. He's got to go to a land full of pagan worshipers. He's got to believe God for a child, because you can't have descendants without first having your child. Then you have to wait 25 years for that to be fulfilled. Then you've got to raise your son to be a man of faith. Then you've got to do the unthinkable, which would be to willingly sacrifice your son. Then your wife dies, and you have no place to bury her. In the land that the Lord has given you, you have no land, so you have to buy land for an over market rate. All of those things have to happen before Abram can be a blessing.
Wow.
So this is a life journey that is not at the beginning of someone's journey. It's something I think you grow into and you learn to do. And when you learn to do it, because you've learned to walk with the Lord and listen to the Lord, now he gives only two commands. And the two commands are go and be a blessing. In the grammar of the text, there's two imperatives. The first one is go. The second one is be a blessing. And all of your conversation and really all the efforts of the great people on this call are focused on imperative number two, which is hugely important, to be a blessing. But you've got to do imperative number one first, which is go.
So when you're getting that bookshelf from IKEA, you can't start putting and doing the second step, because it will fall apart. You have to start with step number one.
You don't know how to do number two.
You don't even know
two of the blessing until you've done the first one, which is Shema.
Excellent. Excellent. What is it? What does it look like? Oh, I want to come back to Avi before he has to go, but what does it look like practically in your church on any given week? The blessing Israel.
Well, it's multifaceted, and we, of course, send financial donations to various organizations. We bring tour groups and study groups to Israel. We have all of our media that's involved in it. I congratulate you on 200 episodes. I know what that's like. My show is almost 900 episodes on the radio, and so it's a lot of work. But it's the small things. I mean, the church with the mezuzah on the front door, the church with an Israeli flag next to the American flag. It's teaching Hebrew. It's studying Torah every week. So it's a lot of what we might say small things, but they add up in the goal of how do you be a blessing?
Thank you. Yeah. By the way, I have to add part of the answer that I will say on your behalf is, and I haven't seen them all, but your teachings. I mean, where would we find them? At first,
melissa.com. Right.
Unbelievable teachings about Israel, fact-based, historical-based, biblical-based, rational, and that's real, real important, and I want to give you a shout-out for that. Avi, let's come back to you. And you're standing under a beautiful tree of some sort, hopefully a better reception where you are. You got cut off. Now you're looking up at the branches, but you were talking about the roots before. I wanted to come back to you if there was anything to add about that, but weave in before I move on to the cursing part what you heard from the others today about the blessing part.
Well, I love what Trey, and by the way, Trey, this is the first time we're meeting. It's great to hear, really inspirational to hear your approach. I think it's a great way of framing it. Also, if we touch upon what Adam said by the whole Tucker Carlson interview as follows. The distinction that Trey made between be a blessing and I will bless those who bless you, God does the blessing of I will bless those who bless you. That's actually not our directive. Our directive is indeed to be a blessing. Well, I'm not sure what it means to be a blessing unless, again, we define be a blessing as be abundant. So what we call the difference between an abundance mentality and a scarcity mentality. A scarcity mentality means I look at everything, it's zero-sum game. If I, here in the land of Israel, if I have, that means my neighbor doesn't. But if I have an abundance mentality, it means that if I, here in Israel, have something, I can be a blessing to my neighbors, I can be a blessing to the entire world. And so that's, in my opinion, what being a blessing is. That's the directive part. If that's a directive, then what does it mean, I will bless those who bless you? It seems to me that the healthier approach is that of a Senator Ted Cruz, who doesn't know how to explain the verse. Or as Adam was saying, you know, the Jews don't walk around quoting that verse nearly as much as the Christians do. And it seems to me because it's not a directive, but because it is a reflection of who you are. And so I don't need to be a blessing, like you say, Jonathan, in a transactional way. If I am blessed, it means it's because I am a blessing to Abraham or Abram's seed. It's just an indication. If you want to know if you're on the right side of things, well, are you blessed? You know, and I don't want to oversimplify what it means to be blessed, and we shouldn't be, you know, gauging that in terms of the kind of car people drive, et cetera. I'm not having that conversation. I'm simply saying, if you're in a state of what I would argue, you know, an abundance mindset, if you think things are good, if you think this is a world of blessing, it's probably because you have that kind of orientation to the seed of Abraham. And if it's not, it says something about who you are. It says something perhaps of that miserable state of being that some people experience because they're so full of hate, because they're so motivated in a negative way. It just says something about who they are. That's really how God is interacting with them.
Obviously, what a great comment. And Trey, I want to go back to something that we were talking about earlier, the difference between doing Zoom and the audio. Because what one thing I'm loving so much as part of this conversation is seeing the nodding as affirmation and the physical responses from all of you, the eyebrows raised. This is really wild. Avi, I'm not sure how much longer we're going to have you. And folks, I want you to come back and feel free to jump in on the whole beginning part. But I do want to move it along. Then there's kind of a carrot and stick part in the middle. Maybe a ruler on the back of the hand or the palm of the hand. I will curse those who curse you. Avi, you just gave a great perspective in terms of being a blessing. What does that middle part mean? I don't really talk about that a lot because I'm looking at bookends.
I think we don't like to talk about that part. And I think, again, partially because it's just not our job. I think it clearly reminds us of the book of Numbers with the way that Bilam tries to curse the Jewish people. It's the exact same terminology that's used. And he keeps trying to curse, and he keeps coming back with the response, I cannot curse them. They are blessed.
Wow.
It's a state of being. And so you can try to be cursing, and you will be cursed if that's the kind of way you live your life. And that's true for the way that you interact with this one. Again, Israel, I think we're amongst friends. We know this. I assume your listeners and your subscribers know the same. But there's a lot of people who don't know that Israel is doing its absolute best job only to give. Right? The world I live in is a world of just trying to figure out how do we give better. Right? And so we have a giving orientation. And there's something about us also, we'd rather, like I said, bury our heads in the ground and not draw any attention to ourselves, just live our own lives to a certain degree. We're actually, you know, life would be easier if we didn't have to be a blessing, if we didn't have to do things for everybody else. There's a kind of, you know, just let the world forget about me. But that's obviously not what God had in mind for us. We're supposed to be in the thick of things. We're supposed to be at the crossroads between Asia, Europe, and Africa, where all of the societies of the world or civilizations of the world have begun, grown up, and kind of moved on, and they continue to interact east, west, et cetera, et cetera. So even if there's something that kind of just leave us alone already, let us do our own thing, that's not a luxury that we have. We have that interaction with the world. The way that the world interacts with us is going to be a reflection of God, how God interacts with them.
Thank you. Trisha, you're nodding also. I want you to pick up on where Avi just left off, but I'm also going to observe, and I think amongst all of us, you're the one who spends most waking hours in the day counteracting the people who are cursing us, who are not living in that framework that Avi just mentioned. So I love your thoughts and perspective on this.
What I was thinking, first of all, when Avi was talking, is how Israel blesses their enemies. And that now, in the midst of this war with a genocidal jihadist group, that Israel takes the effort, the concern to keep getting humanitarian supplies in there, even though they continue to be demonized and accused of causing a famine, of attempting genocide. Well, obviously, if Israel's attempting to commit genocide, Israel's really bad at committing genocide because it's not happening. But all of the assault, just the lies, I don't even have strong enough words, the outrageous accusations that Israel is attempting to create a famine or has created a famine and is using starvation as a weapon is so outrageous and is so ignorant of all the facts, either ignorant or willingly, you know, ignoring all of that. So that was my first thought. But then also just look at historically about the cursing part, that whoever curses Israel will be cursed. Avi started it off in Numbers, but look at starting from there and going all the way through history. Where are all the empires who have tried to destroy the Jewish people? Starting with the Egyptians, then the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans. Where are they? They don't exist, but the Jewish people still do. And I think that is one of the best just actual historical facts that demonstrates that those who curse the Jewish people by trying to destroy them, they're gone. And the Jewish people still are here.
Thank you. You know, when you're talking about how we bless our enemies, I wasn't sure where you're going to go with that immediately. But yeah, in Gaza, correct. I've been waiting now as we speak today, and I'm sure it's not changing any between now and when the conversations aired. Iran is suffering from tremendous water crisis that in and of itself could bring down the regime. And I've been wondering in the back of my head, are we going to send drip irrigation and desalination projects to rescue
probably
90 million Iranians?
Nuclear-powered desalination plant. Nuclear-powered. Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Probably. What army, what nation in the world has ever been expected to feed their enemies while they're trying to defeat them? None. And yet the world demonizes Israel because they think they're not, even though they have been. And Eliyahu was saying earlier, I think before we got on, but the facts don't matter. I mean, you can show the pictures of all the trucks sitting there with all the supplies rotting in the sun because the UN and Hamas won't, you know, process it, or all of the pictures of the Hamas terrorists jumping on the trucks and taking them over and, you know, taking all the aid so that they can then sell it to make money. You can show that all you want, and the world will still, and the media is responsible primarily, but then everybody picks it up. The world still wants to believe that it's the Jews who aren't feeding their enemies. When who would even, in any other nation, who would even expect that?
Correct. Good point. Adam, you just had a, you were referenced, but also had an interjection. I'm thinking while Tricia's speaking, as she's the one who spends most of her waking hours working with those who are our enemies, or again, those who are our enemies. You, I think, perhaps, and maybe Trey, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, spend more hours of your waking day looking at conversations like this as being seeds of Geula, the redemption. How does that fit in to the cursing part?
Well, I'll tell you. What does being cursed look like? Most people think it's like, you know, your nose falls off. You're like, eh, you know. There's a section of the Gemara where they...
I never thought of that.
Right, okay. It's called Yisurim Shel Ahava, where Hashem presses down on the people he loves the most. I merited learning this with Nissan Konakov, who had a degenerative disease, was in a wheelchair. And as the months went on, he was becoming less and less, more and more problems. And so we were going to come up to this section of the Gemara talking about Yisurim Shel Ahava, troubles of love, meaning Hashem giving people troubles because he loves them, which is a crazy concept. And when we learned it, I looked at him, I said, so what do you think? He said, I have no idea what it's talking about. This is a guy in a wheelchair. Okay. What is being cursed looks like when it comes to dealing with Hashem? Being cursed means not being invited to the table. You know, it's being blessed is you're close to Hashem, which is not really an easy, pleasant, mushy place to hang out. It's kind of difficult. The spotlight is on you. You have to be your best you. It's difficult, and it can feel hard, even though what Hashem has said is you're amazing. I want to bring out the most you have. I want to squeeze the best grapes. And so the people who are cursing Israel, they've chosen a side, and their side is going to be on the outside. In the words of Khalil Gibran, they're going out into their seasonless world where they could laugh, but not all their laughter, and they'll cry, but not all of their tears. They're left out. We're writing the story of Ge'ulah here. It is clear to everyone who's in Israel that the redemption is barreling at us like a freight train. You know, it's just we are so close to Ge'ulah, and it hasn't been easy. It's specifically the really difficult stuff. The war, COVID. It's like, it's so hard. Yes, because Hashem says the world needs Israel to be the best it can.
Are you ready? Go ahead.
And so people who connect themselves with Israel, Pastor Trey, has it been mushy and warm and wonderful and easy for you? I know it hasn't, Trisha. You know, once you attach yourself to Israel, you got to put on your shoulder pads, your knee pads, because they're going to come for you.
He's a football player too, so there you go.
Yeah, it's West Point. They prepared you. Once you attach yourself to Israel, you're going to get the blessing. And what's the blessing? The blessing is you're on the inside. You're close, and you're going to be with us. And you're going to go into the temple, and it's going to be all of us crowding together. And it'll be, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Even the religious Jews are going to have to up their game a lot. We're going to have to bring, you know, we're going to have to bring offerings. We're going to have to do a lot of work.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance, creating an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anyone for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit israelthemiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Is it oversimplifying what you just said to say a curse, being cursed, is the absence of blessing?
It's being outside of blessing.
Okay.
So yeah, being outside. There's the world of blessing.
And your nose might fall off.
And you might. Eventually, it'll certainly fall off. I see what goes around comes around. But like when Geulah comes, I'm going to be looking for Pastor Trey. I'm going to be looking for Tricia. I'm going to be looking for all my Christian friends who were, you know, and I've seen my, you know, I see when Hayovel goes up to the Temple Mount, the Waqif gives them a harder time than they give me. They come real close to fist fights with those Tennessee boys. So it's not soft and easy and wonderful. A curse is not always your nose falling off and getting harsh. Sometimes it's like Hashem putting you off to the side and saying, you know,
Time out.
I'm going to be working this guy over physical therapy and operations and working on getting him all the way he can go. I'm going to give you some what do you call it, the pain relievers and the anesthetics and I'm not going to do any physical therapy. You're just going to sit over there and play video games and then I also
think there's physical consequences though, like what I mentioned about the destruction of the ancient empires, and I should really think that there is a direct connect if they've come against the Jewish people. And that's what American evangelicals are concerned about, who care and support Israel. That's why there's so much effort in the United States to keep the United States on track too, back to the more transactional model. But if it works, it works. Keeping America on track, supporting Israel for that blessing and not to be cursed.
Tricia, you deal with people who basically use the internet to sin, to do harm, to lie. And the thing is, once they've done that, well, now the whole world knows that they're a liar. That's a kind of a curse as well. These people who are cursing Israel, well, the thing about the internet, it never goes away. I did a lot of stupid things when I was 17. I'm glad there was no Facebook. I'm glad there was no TikTok. These people today, it is there and it'll never go away. What's the guy, Kamdani, whatever his name is in New York. It's like everyone knows he's horrible. He can't hide it.
But he may become Mr. Horrible Mayor in a month and a half.
Such a blessing. Such a blessing.
Trey, I want to come to you. Tricia went in a direction. I love your comments on this in general. But Tricia went in a direction I specifically wanted to ask you in terms of you're not a non-political person. We're now in a very different presidential administration in the U.S. than we were a year ago. We're seeing a complete different relationship with Israel and the Jewish people. It would be shocking to imagine what if it was the other candidate who was sitting there. And I'm curious, and as we speak, while they haven't stood up in front of the podium at the United Nations yet, among the Western nations that are threatening or promising to recognize a state of Palestine, or France, followed by the UK and Canada, and who knows who else, can you speak specifically to how the sum of national cursing of Israel is other than what Tricia said specifically, where we have empires that once fought us and no longer exist. I think it's hard for people to absorb that now, thinking that those might be consequences today. What would you say?
Well, I will again take us back to the text of the scripture.
Okay.
And as I mentioned earlier, Abram is given two assignments, two commands, to go and to be a blessing. And in response to each one of those, the Lord makes promises. And if you read it in the English, you will see that phrase, I will, multiple times. These are promises. These are not hypotheticals. These are guarantees. If you do commandment number one, to go forth, then I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. So the Lord makes three promises that are the blessing of you being obedient to the call. The second assignment, to be a blessing, is requiring those who are not Israel to find a way to bless Israel, to show kindness or grace or assistance or love to the people and the land of Israel. And in response to that, the Lord makes more I will statements, and you've been talking about them. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And I will make all the families of the earth be blessed through you. So the Lord makes these promises. And if the non-Jews of the world, non-Israel, chooses to not be a blessing, then the Lord will make his promise come true. I will curse those who curse you. Now, anti-Semitism is the greatest sin, the greatest prejudice, the greatest hatred in history. And what you're seeing among the nations that you mentioned, the historical ones that Tricia mentioned, or the current ones that you mentioned, they're threatening to recognize a Palestinian state. I would love to sit down with Mr. Macron and say, what exactly are you recognizing?
Right.
What borders, what land, what language, what people group, what history, just what piece of territory are you planning to recognize? Because it doesn't exist. So you're going to recognize something that doesn't exist, I guess to hope it will become an existence, but you don't recognize something before it exists. You recognize something after it exists. It doesn't currently exist. So I don't know what you're claiming you're going to recognize.
He's blessing.
That's on the political level.
He's actually blessing a jealousy. He's blessing a lie.
Well, he's blessing a fiction.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Lord says, I believe that's a curse. So you will receive a curse if you participate in a curse. You will receive a blessing if you participate in a blessing. And Tricia made the point earlier about American followers of Jesus who stand with Israel. We pray that our leadership will choose the path of blessing instead of cursing. And that might be selfish because we want our own lives and our own families and our own nation to stay on that path. But we need to remember from the Bible text what the Lord said he would do in response to the assignments he gave to Abram.
So, but I have a question. I want to take that just a step further. We're I think we're all speaking in the first person, meaning in the singular. We have an individual responsibility. But how does that apply? And how, I mean, none of us are God, okay, but how is God going to judge that America, we'll just pick on the country, we're all U.S. citizens here. How is God going to assess and then bless or curse America when it's the representative of that country as the sum of all of the people? Does the blessing and curse apply nationally? Is it a trickle down that eventually, if there's enough cursing, I'm going to stick with that one, like water coming from a stalactite will create something after a while? Or is God going to say zap and America will be taken over by Russia?
Well, you can have an ancient example or a more modern example.
Go ahead.
Ask the Pharaoh and Egypt. Or ask Hitler and Germany. Leaders set the pace. Leaders set the tone. People follow leaders. So the leader sets the tone, and if the people do not counteract what the leader is doing, if they join with or sit by and watch
right.
the leader curse, then the whole nation will be cursed. Again, ask the people of Egypt, who in the Exodus story were trying to get the people of Israel out of their country. They kicked them out because the cursing was so bad. So you ask, what will happen to a nation? It starts with the leader, but it doesn't end with the leader.
Okay. Thank you for that. Given the hour and that we are on a Friday, Avi, if you have a few minutes, just literally a few, I want to begin the last round, if you will. By the way, I'm enjoying this so much, and I'm really grateful for all of you. I'm very, very motivated. But I want to begin kind of a last round with Trey, talking about the third of the three phrases, the families of the world will be blessed through you. And Trey, I want to start with that because for me, when we started Genesis 1:2-3, it was important not only to be using the phrase, I will bless those who bless you, but really try to embrace the whole thing. And I was trying to explain, I hosted a group of French Christians recently, and I was trying to explain, I don't have a checklist. I'm not looking for my daily dose of being a blessing to the families of the world, either individually or or on behalf of Genesis 123 Foundation, but I believe it's part of the DNA of what we do. And Trey, 3 years ago, if I remember correctly, you were the recipient of one of those crazy ideas that I had when I showed up in Texas with 200 pounds of baby formula when you were going through that. And that was unique to me because it required me looking at the Hebrew. Sometimes the verse is mistranslated to bless the nations of the world, but in fact, the Hebrew is the families of the world. And there's no more vivid a depiction of a family than having a can of Similac baby formula with Hebrew writing on it going in the on the kitchen counter or in the pantry as being that blessing. I'm not looking to make this self-serving about that incident, but it's one of the things that I hearken back on that I'm so proud of because it was just an innate thing for us to be able to do. And the number of Israelis who participated, who gave me their luggage that they no longer wanted back and help give me deals to buy the formula was really remarkable, including one Muslim Arab. You can speak to that specifically, though I'm not trying to elicit that, but I'd love for you to know, Trey, first, what is that whole bit about for us, the Jewish people, to be a blessing to the families of the world?
Well, there's some very practical demonstrations of the people of Israel being a blessing. When we had a shortage of baby formula in Texas, you brought them from Israel, and that's an example of that. You mentioned drip irrigation. You mentioned all of these other technologies that you can find, from Waze to cell phones to voicemail to, you know, the list better than I do. So there's some very practical ways. How many people have eaten crops that have grown because of drip irrigation? How many deaths from malnutrition, literal and actual malnutrition? How many people have been saved from that because of Israeli farming technology? You can go to even more important practical things: healthcare, hospitals, orphanages, all of those things, water wells being dug, and schools being established. And all of those are practical examples, and they're very important. But for those of us who are not Jewish, those of us who are followers of Jesus, the most important way that our world has been blessed is because of our Redeemer, our Savior, Jesus, Yeshua, who is a Jew, who is a descendant of Abraham. And so without Abraham's faithfulness to follow God, wow, to have that son, to willingly sacrifice that son, to be stopped from sacrificing that son, to have a grandson, to have all of those descendants all the way through King David, all the way down to Yeshua, Jesus, if we don't have that family line continue because Abram started it, we're not standing here today knowing God because we don't have a Savior to help us meet him.
If I can interrupt, even as an Orthodox Jew, when I go online, there's always the people who hate on Israel and say, what has Israel ever done for the world? You just gave me the best answer. Jesus?
I think that's going to be one of the highlights if I were to do a sizzle reel. Avi, I want to come to you because, I'm mindful of your time frame now. We are beginning to wrap up anyway. But what you're doing, and I like how you phrase it in the bio, values-driven impact across philanthropy, business, and public policy. Okay, that's taking the values that we live with as Israeli Jews or Jews in general. And broadening that to the world. I love your, I don't know if that's a deliberate, conscious thing of yours, but I love your take on the whole thing that we're supposed to be a blessing to the families of the world. And of course, feel free to respond to that great insight that Trey just offered.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it all. Earlier, that this is more, verses are largely about the identity of who Abraham is and who he will be. And that means that these different facets of these verses, which culminate or come to crescendo with all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. And by the way, it's not some of the families of the earth. It is all of the families of the earth, which, you know, seems to be a contradiction of the beginning of the verse, right? If God will bless those who bless you, and he will curse those who curse you. This can be a blessing to everyone. And the answer is, that explains what Tricia mentioned earlier. We're going to keep giving things to Gaza because our engaged evil, the sin of burn.
Abby, we're losing you. Oh, we lost you. Tricia, you were just mentioned. I was going to come to you anyway. What's your thought on this? You referenced it before, and I love that Avi just picked that up. That we're supposed to bless all the families of the world. That's intense. I feel like my shoulders just got a lot heavier.
On October 7th, 2023, Israel and the Jewish people suffered a massacre and calamity of unprecedented proportion, the largest number of Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. That this is even something that we even measure is harrowing. Since then, the Jewish people have never felt more alone, in Israel and around the world. It brings us back to when 6 million of us were murdered in the Holocaust, and few rose to protect us. However, those who did, the righteous among the nations, can never be forgotten. They serve as a beacon of light for us today and for future generations. Footsteps was born in the wake of this most recent calamity to give you the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of the righteous among the nations, the righteous Gentiles. Footsteps is a boutique travel experience with a personal touch. You will experience stories of the righteous among the nations, their descendants, of the Jews they saved, and the generations that came from them. Through this, you'll be inspired to follow in their footsteps to inspire new generations of righteous among the nations, especially today when so much of the world is embracing overt anti-Semitism. In a generation where standing up for Israel and the Jewish people is no longer something to be taken for granted, stories of the righteous among the nations call out to us, inspire us, and are models for today and for our next generations. Please join us and get more information at genesis123.co.
Yeah, well, I wanted to pick up on what Pastor Trey was saying about Jesus being a descendant of Abraham. Are in the Christian Testament, and I call it the Christian Testament and the Hebrew Bible because I am working so hard constantly combating replacement theology in the church. And I feel that if we call it the Old and the New Testament, that feeds into that whole concept. So that's why I'm saying in the Christian Testament, the very first gospel, very first verse, Matthew 1, says that Jesus is the descendant of Abraham. So that is how Christians are specifically are blessed through Abraham. But beyond that, I wanted to talk about Romans 11 a little bit, because this is also a very key text for combating replacement theology, but also for helping Christians understand what our relationship is supposed to be to the Jewish people. Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. It was a Gentile church. It was not Jewish. Some people are teaching that it was Jewish believers that Paul wrote this letter to. He makes it very clear. And at the beginning, and also in chapter 11, he says, I'm writing to you Gentiles, because he needs to help these new believers in Rome understand what their relationship is supposed to be so that they are not writing off the Jewish people. And so he, in chapter 11, he uses the image of the olive tree, and that Israel, the Jewish people, Israel, that is the root of the tree, and that we as Gentiles who believe in Jesus are wild branches grafted into that tree. We are wild branches. The Jewish people are the natural branches. And Paul then says in verse 18, he says, don't consider yourself to be superior to those natural branches. And then he gives a very strong warning. If you're arrogant, you can be cut off, speaking to these Gentile believers. So that's how I see this verse, and how the blessing is to be to all peoples, because all of the Gentiles in the world have the opportunity to believe in Jesus, and they can be grafted into this tree spiritually, the tree, the roots of the tree being Israel and the Jewish people.
Okay, being the Orthodox Jew in the room, or one of them who is less familiar with the Book of Romans, are you suggesting that Romans 11 is a paraphrasing in some way of Genesis 12:3?
It's certainly an interpretation of it. Sure. We see that in all of Paul's writings, he is interpreting Tanakh. He and Jesus' teachings too, they're all
right.
Interpretations and building on Tanakh. And since you mentioned that, let me just mention, because I say this to Christians, when Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for, and then gives a whole list of what it's profitable for. What scripture was Paul talking about? Because this Christian Testament hadn't been compiled yet. You know, there's just constant affirmation in Paul's teachings about the validity and the essential part that the Hebrew Bible plays in our faith. Okay. So, yes.
I know that's true what you said, but I never made an association between Romans 11 and Genesis 12:3. Trey, you're nodding. Is that something you're also concur with? You teach that?
I do agree with that. And Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, spent a lot of his time and assignment from the Lord trying to teach Tanakh, to teach Torah
to Gentiles,
to non-Jews, but also to call Jews to believe it themselves, to live it themselves. So I think the Romans 11, as Tricia said, do not be arrogant is part of that. Be grateful is another part of that. And that is how you do the assignment of be a blessing.
And Tricia, when we spoke the other day confirming this, we spoke about how you're going to physically enact that when we do our root and branch program, which gets its name from Romans 11, coming to pick olives in October. So I invite people to come along and join picking olives from wild olive trees. Oh dear, we just lost Avi. I was going to come back to him for a comment. What I like to do, you know what? I'm so grateful for the person who suggested that this would be the conversation to have for the 200th episode. I invite people to start thinking another 100 episodes out to give me a good suggestion. This has been such a great conversation, and I want to thank the four of you being part of it. There's a lot we could go on for another hour or two unpacking just this one verse. It's really remarkable. But I'd like to just do a round robin of what's the one thing we haven't said? What's the one thing you haven't said? The insight that you've derived from one of the other people in this conversation, or anything else if you'd like to go on a tangent. And speaking of tangents, I'm going to go to my dear friend Adam.
the king of tangents. I just want to say it's interesting when you introduced everyone. These are people I know, and I learned something new about them. And I've always been impressed at everything, every step along the way of final stages that I report on. It's so many of the same people over and over again, or new friends that are equally as amazing. And I think that's what the whole point of blessing each other is about. You know, you bless your children. You only bless people you're connected to. You know, the Kohanim, they blessed Israel. They were connected to it. They were part of it. And of course, blessing your children. And we're building a different community. And there's the inside and there's outside. And sheep and goats, and we have it in the last Mishnah of Yud-Yud. We're choosing up sides. And it's surprising how that's working out. But it's all about connection. Blessing is all about connection. Yeah, we keep going back to Avi's example. The thing about Avracha, when you put the branch under the ground, is it looks like two separate plants, but it's really one plant with the same root. And that's what happens when you bless someone. You're connected with them. You're the same, you know, your kids. Blessing your kids is kind of like cheating God, because I'm blessing my kids because that's me, you know. If my kids, I want my kids to be blessed with grandchildren. I want the grandchildren, you know. So when the Christians come to bless me, it's like, yeah, because these are the people I want to hang out with. God should bless them with long life so that we can hang out a lot. God should bless them to love coffee so they can come visit me in the Golan. It's really all about connection and the same people being connected over and over again.
Amazing. Thank you, Tricia. And by the way, what a nice blessing to kind of conclude this conversation. Tricia, what have we not covered that's on your heart?
Well, pick up what Eliyahu said about connection. I just would like to admonish or remind any Christians watching this, going back to Romans 11 again, our relationship to the Jewish people and how we are indebted. Paul said quite a bit about how we are indebted to the Jewish people for everything we have. The Christian faith would not exist. We have Jesus. We have the whole Bible. We have everything because of the Jewish people. But then near the end of chapter 11, Paul says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And often Christians take that verse out of context. And they want to claim that promise for themselves. That's fine. We can, because we also know that the gifts and calling of God on us are irrevocable, but Christians need to understand the context of that verse. It's in this whole chapter where Paul's talking about Israel and the Jewish people being the root of our tree, of our spiritual tree. And so just to admonish Christians to remember that, especially in relation to Israel now. Well, first, let me backtrack. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The calling on the Jewish people is irrevocable. And the covenant God made with Abraham is eternal and unconditional. But apply it to Israel now. What was one of the gifts that was given to Abraham beginning in Genesis 12:3 was the gift of the land. And that's why Christians must stand with Israel and continue to support the right of the Jewish people to be in that land.
Really nice. Thank you. Trey, I know baseball is not your sport of choice, but you're batting cleanup.
Well, I will try to connect a few dots. The blessing is something that you give and something you receive. So the assignment to Abram was go and be a blessing, as I've mentioned. That's the command. That's the imperative. So that is something you give away. You do something in technology, in medicine, in compassion, in finances. You do something to commit an act of blessing. And that is how you give it away. You give it away for the benefit of someone else. In the name of the Lord or in the name of Jesus, you do it by giving something away. But the other side of that is the receiving of blessing. And in our church, we have a phrase that I don't know if I made it up or not, but we use it, which is blessing follows obedience. And we believe that the Lord blesses those who obey. And it's back to Shema. Shema means, as all of you know better than I, not just listen, not just hear something, but to hear it and to do it. And so if blessing follows obedience, obedience to what? Well, the commands of the Lord, the commands of Scripture, the command to go forth, leave your comfort zone to the land which I will show you, which is another part of the text we haven't even covered yet. You're going to go be a blessing in an area, a context that you're not familiar with. And if you stay where you are, your ability to be a blessing is lessened. But if you will go out of the comfort zone to the place which I will show you. Now, no one today travels that way. You travel today with a destination already in mind and your GPS is already set. We do not
and
travel.
People have rated it where you're going. People know on TripAdvisor, you're only going to go to those that are 4 and 5 stars.
Well, you know which gas station you're going to stop at 100 miles before you get there. Whereas the faith journey is you keep going until the Lord says, stop here. Do this now. So go be a blessing is the giving, and the receiving of the blessing is what follows the obedience.
Well, I can speak for at least one of the Jewish guys in the room that as Shabbat begins here, literally in an hour, my mind is going to be replaying this conversation on all absolute different levels of insight and inspiration and a blessing. And really, I'm sorry that it's starting so soon. Strange comment, but because I just want to get this out there for people to hear this conversation. It's given me a tremendous boost. And wow, I'm grateful to the four of you for being part of this, for helping me mark the milestone. Brilliant conversation. Thank you all.
Well, thank you for putting this together.
Yeah. Well, as we always do for the last, I think, three of the 4 years, and that's a lot of episodes under our belt, we have a special incentive to try to get you to like, comment, and share the link to this conversation. It's called From Jonathan's Bookshelf. For the last 2 years, we've been offering copies of our book, Israel the Miracle, a compilation of essays by 75 Christian leaders from all over the world. Actually, I should state that correctly. 75 essays by Christian leaders from all over the world. Tricia, I'm not going to give away the conversation we had at the NRB convention 2.5 or so years ago when you said it. You're the only person who's ever asked that question. So you know the secret about the book that others don't know. But I will acknowledge that Pastor Trey Graham is one of those 75 essays and real inspiring. And we're offering that book, a $75 value, for free every month to one person at random who likes, comments, or shares the link to this program. So I want to encourage you to do so. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. If you're ever in the area, pop in and thank them for helping make really meaningful conversations like this possible. And also special thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and building bridges. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode somewhere between 201 and 300, be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. It can be about any topic, in honor or memory of a loved one, or a special occasion or milestone in your life. We always love to hear comments as part of a dialogue and invite you to send questions, especially about traditional Judaism, for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here for our next 100 episodes as we continue to bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy. And I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.